2 Kings 21, verse 1 through 18. Second Kings 21, 1 through 18. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, and his mother's name was Hephzibah. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations, whom the Lord dispossessed before the sons of Israel. For he rebuilt the high places which Hezekiah his father had destroyed, and he erected altars for Baal and made an Asherah, as Ahab king of Israel had done, and worshipped all the hosts of heaven and served them. He built altars in the house of the Lord, of which the Lord had said, "In Jerusalem I will put my name." For he built altars for all the hosts of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. He made his son pass through the fire, practiced witchcraft and used divination, and dealt with mediums and spiritists. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord, provoking him to anger. Then he set the carved image of Asherah that he had made in the house of which the Lord sent to David and to his son Solomon, "In this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen from all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander any more from the land which I gave their fathers, if only they will observe to do according to all that I have commanded them, and according to all the law that my servant Moses commanded them." But they did not listen, and Manasseh seduced them to do evil more than the nations whom the Lord destroyed before the sons of Israel. Now the Lord spoke through his servants, the prophets, saying, "Because Manasseh, king of Judah, had done these abominations, having done wickedly more than all the Amorites did who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols, therefore thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity on Jerusalem and Judah that whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. I will stretch over Jerusalem the line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab, and I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. I will abandon the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the hand of their enemies, and they will become as plunder and spoil to all their enemies, because they have done evil in my sight and have been provoking me to anger since the day their fathers came from Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood until he had filled Jerusalem from one end to another. Besides his sin with which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Now the rest of the acts of Manasseh and all that he did and his sin which he committed, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Judah? And Manasseh slept with his fathers and was buried in the garden of his own house, in the garden of Uzzah, and Amon his son became king in his place. Let's pray together. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your presence, God, and thank you that you are so merciful to us, and I pray that you would come and just speak to your children this morning, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. This morning, I just want to talk to us a little bit about and help us think about what kind of legacy we are leaving behind in our lives. We read today about Manasseh, and he was the son of Hezekiah, and Hezekiah was a great king. He was one of the good kings that really followed the Lord and really did a lot to bring reformation to the land. But towards the end of his life, Hezekiah, he kind of became a little prideful, maybe a little too comfortable, and he turns away a little bit from the Lord. And the Lord pronounces judgment, but then Hezekiah humbles himself again and prays to the Lord. And the Lord then says to Hezekiah, "Well, because you humbled yourself, this is not going to happen to you in your generation, but it's going to happen later." And Hezekiah, I think it's a sad passage. Hezekiah says, well, then it's okay. You know, it's not going to happen to me while I am king. So he just kind of says, just forget it then. You know, I don't have to worry about it because it's not going to happen in my generation. And then later on, after Hezekiah passes away, Manasseh becomes king. And Manasseh is one of those kings. He was one of the most evil kings of Judah. He really, really messed up. And he really turned away from the Lord. And after Manasseh, Amon becomes king. And after Amon, Josiah becomes king. And Josiah was also another one of those kings that really served the Lord with all his heart. He turned away from all the idols and removed all the high places, removed all the prophets of Baal and everything, and brought reformation, reform to the land. But it says in 2 Kings 23, 25 to 27, it says about Josiah, this is what it says, before him, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to the law of Moses. Nor did any like him arise after him. That's a really great, that's, if something like that said of you, I mean, David was before Josiah, right? And he says, before Josiah, there was no king like him who turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might, according to all the law of Moses. Nor did any like him rise after him. But in 26, verse 26, it says this, however, the Lord did not turn from the fierceness of his great wrath with which his anger burned against Judah because of all the provocations with which Manasseh had provoked him. The Lord said, I will remove Judah also from my sight as I have removed Israel, and I will cast off Jerusalem, this city which I have chosen and the temple of which I said, my name shall be there. Even though Josiah brought all this reform and turned the nation upside down and repented and was faithful before the Lord, and it says, before him, no king was like him that followed God with all his heart, mind, strength, God still says, I will not turn away my wrath against this land because of what Manasseh had done. And so I want to ask us today, what kind of legacy are we leaving behind? Is it going to be like Manasseh? And then we see King David. King David in 2 Kings 8:19, it says, however, the Lord was not willing to destroy Judah for the sake of David his servant, since he had promised him to give a lamp to him through his son always. David was one of those kings that left a legacy behind that was maybe the exact opposite of Manasseh. Because David was so a man after God's own heart, and he led the nation of Israel, to love God and to worship God and to serve him faithfully. Because of the righteousness of David, God had mercy on Judah. God had mercy on this nation. And time again, the kings of Judah will mess up and mess up and mess up. But God says, but I will have compassion on this land because of what David has done. Because of who David was. Because of his love for me, his worship of me, I'll have mercy on Judah. And here comes Manasseh who just screws up. And then Josiah brings all the reformation. But God says, I will not turn my wrath away because of what Manasseh had done. But you know, ultimately because of David and the covenant that God made with David and the legacy that David left behind, Judah does not get destroyed completely. Even though they do get sent into exile by Babylon, 70 years later, Judah will return. The people of Israel is not destroyed, not wiped away from the face of the earth. And God remains faithful to the promises that he makes to David. And that's the legacy that David leaves behind. So this morning, I just want us to think about that. What kind of legacy are we leaving behind? Is it a legacy of Manasseh, you know, that just leaves behind a curse, you know, leaves behind something that is going to be damaging to the next generation and to the people that we have influence over? Is it going to be like David that leaves behind such a blessing from the Lord because of the way we we live before God. In Acts 13, 36, you can turn there. You can underline this one. Acts 13, 36, it says this of David. Now when David had served God's purpose in his own generation, he fell asleep. He was buried with his ancestors and his body decayed. When David had served God's own purpose in his own generation. This is what it says of David. That David was a man who served God's purpose in his own generation. The purpose that God had for David, in his generation, he served it. You know, he served it faithfully. He fulfilled it faithfully. This is almost like an epitaph. You know, epitaph is something that you write on a tombstone about a person that has passed away. And this is what it says of David. You served, like this man served God's purpose in his own generation. What's our epitaph going to say? You know, when, at the end of our lives, what are people going to say about us and how we have lived our lives? I was in Korea many years ago, actually, maybe 10 years ago. I was there with my dad, who was a missionary to China, right? And we went to a missionary museum, I guess like a memorial for missionaries in Korea. All these missionaries that came 100 years ago, over 100 years ago, brought the gospel to this land, Korea. And Korea back then was dirt. You know, there was nothing in Korea. And just poverty everywhere and disease. And these missionaries came from America, from Canada, from Europe. And one part of the museum is you go to the side. There's all these tombstones, you know, all these different missionaries that have died. And you go to one side and there's all these little tombstones. And these are all the tombstones of children that died in Korea, of the missionaries. These children would never have died if they had lived in their own country with the right medicine or medical system or whatever. They would not have passed away. But because they were in Korea in this dirt, poor land, and the disease and all the stuff came, and these little children died, and they have a memorial set up for them as well. And some of the tombstones of these missionaries, I just want to read it to you. It's so powerful. Ruby Rachel Kendrick, born January 28, 1883, died August 15, 1908. At the age of 25, she passed away. And this is what it says on her tombstone. It's a quote. If I had 1,000 lives to give, Korea should have them all. So powerful. Dr. George Henry Roo, a medical missionary in Korea. Another quote by him. I didn't come to Korea as a tourist. I came to this land to give my whole body and even my bones to be buried in Korea. If a wolf attacks Koreans, I will not run away as hired shepherds would do. Rather, I'm a missionary who would give his life for the sheep. What kind of epitaph, what kind of words would be said on our tombstone in memorial to our lives in reflection of the legacy that we have left behind? And I think it's something for us to think about, you know. How are we living this life now as to make a difference in this generation? You know, we're not going to be like Manasseh or David, leaving a legacy at a national level, right? None of us will have that kind of influence, but in your own sphere of influence, in your workplace, like if you were to leave your workplace now, what would people say about you? Like, this person was here and, you know, what would they say? Like, he worked faithfully and really brought a positive, I don't know, atmosphere to the workplace and brought the peace of God and earned us a lot of money. Or, you know, or would they say this person was lazy and really didn't do his job very well? I'm glad this person's leaving. You know, your friends, like if you were to part ways with your friends, maybe you're leaving the country or whatever, what would they say? I'm going to really miss this person, or I'm glad he's going. He wasn't really do anything. You know, wasn't a very good friend or wasn't a good influence. But most of all, really, to our family, right? We leave behind a legacy to our family. And some of us here are married. Some of us have children. Some of us are not married. But hopefully we will be one day, right? PSAM is always praying that we will all be married one day, that we will have our own family. But really, we leave behind a legacy to our family. You know, we're doing Search for Significance Student Edition as a discipleship course with our youth group students. And one of the things they mentioned in this week's chapter was that it's just talking about a parents and kind of it was saying if we don't have a breakthrough experience from all the shame and the lies and the false beliefs that we believe about ourselves, and if we don't get healed from that, if we don't have a breakthrough experience with God about these issues, these are just going to be passed down to your children. He says, unknowingly, you're going to pass these things down because you're still dealing with these things, and that's going to get passed down. That could become the legacy that you leave behind with your children or to your children. All the issues and the hurt and the brokenness and the shame and the false beliefs. If you don't have a breakthrough experience with God, whether that comes through counseling or a God moment or, you know, just the right thoughts and self-talk and all these different things that we can do, cascade. If we don't have that those things are going to be left behind to your children. And so, this morning I want us to kind of think about it, you know. And really get healed up, right? Free people, hurt people. And if we're still struggling and dealing with issues and brokenness, these things need to be healed up so that those things don't become the legacy that we leave behind with our children. I was wondering, like, so how do I do this? How do I make sure I leave a legacy behind? And I was thinking, you know, we really can't obsess about this. You know, we can think about it and have this in perspective, but if we're obsessing about it with every little thing that we do and we think, what I'm doing now, is this going to leave a legacy like 50 years from now? Is somebody going to be changed and affected by this? I think you're just going to drive us crazy and we're going to second guess everything and we're going to be so worried and there will be so much pressure put upon us. So we can't just go around obsessing with this idea of legacy. We can think about it and maybe we can pray that God, what we do may leave a legacy behind, may really leave a good influence and an impact for generations to come. But what we do is just live faithfully before God every day. You know, day to day, even in the mundane, we just live faithfully before God. You know, I don't think Manasseh set out to leave this kind of legacy behind. You know, he just lived his everyday life day by day, walking away from the Lord, right? Turning to idols and giving himself to other gods, and he led the nation that way, and through that he left this legacy. David, I don't think, was thinking about, I'm going to leave a legacy behind so that God will bless generations of Israelites after me. He just lived his life every day faithfully before the Lord, loving God, and doing all that he can to be a man after his own heart. And I think that's what we have to do. We seek to do what David did. We seek to serve God's purpose in our own generation. And we do that faithfully. We do that every day, even through the mundane. And I think the legacy will just happen. Right? It'll just happen as we live for God faithfully every day. So this morning, I want us to pray. Eunice is going to come and lead us in a song. Let me just pray for us. Let's close our eyes before the Lord. And God, I pray that you would reveal to us, God, what kind of legacy are we leaving behind to our children, to our co-workers, and to our friends. And I pray that you would stir us up, God, and inspire us, Lord, for the legacy that you are calling us to leave behind. And I pray that you will help us to be faithful, God, every day, even through the mundane, God, that we would be faithful to what you've called us to do and serve your purpose in our own generation as David did, God, so that the stuff that we leave behind will be a blessing and not a curse, God. And Lord, some of us might have issues, brokenness, and false beliefs, lies, and shame that we are still believing and we're still holding on to, God. And these things will get left behind, God, to our children. It'll come out of us in some way. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us to be healed up, God. I pray for those breakthrough moments with you, God, through counseling, through inner healing. That's going to make us whole so that we can leave behind a blessing to the next generation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Come and speak to us this morning.
Worship you. very end.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just pray and let's pray to God on our own and just tell Him and commit your life to God and say that every day you're going to live it faithfully. You're going to serve God's purpose in your own generation so that you may leave behind a legacy of blessing. So let's just pray to that. Pray that to God on our own, and then we'll go into a prayer for our church. Let's go to our church prayer focus. Let's pray for our community going through cancer and chemo or major surgery recovery. Let's really pray for God's healing to come. Let's pray for God to move in a powerful way over our friends and family. And let's pray with faith, and let's pray fervently for our friends. Let's pray. Pray for those that are sick, but they also need salvation. They need to get to know God and believe in Jesus. Let's pray that God will move in this situation. Let's pray for divine appointments and people to really just speak Jesus into their lives. And let's pray for healing to come as well. Let's pray. Go to the third slide. Let's pray for others in our church family that's dealing with various infirmities. Let's just pray for healing. And P. Sophia is at the back, actually. So if you want to place your hand upon her wrist, if you're around her, pray for her for healing. And let's pray. Let's go before the Lord together. Fourth slide, let's pray for my friends that are looking for a job. Let's pray for God's blessing and provision for them. Let's pray together. Let's go to our Tuesday prayer focus. Let's pray for China first of all. Let's pray for our SP Beijing church plant. Pray for PSM Kim and Annie and all the leaders of that church. Let's pray for God's covering and protection and anointing upon this place. Let's pray for Jesse Cool, our missionary there. Pray for the Chong family, Jane and John and their children. Pray for my parents, please, that are in China. Pray for Edie Clark and the Chuchihar children. It's like a mini orphanage that we support, that we have a relationship with. And let's just pray for China as a whole and all the churches in that nation. Let's pray that God will continue to move powerfully in this place. Let's pray together. For the staff, thank you for praying for us. Please pray for PSAM. He wasn't feeling very well this morning, so let's pray for healing for him and for all of us on this list. Pray that we would fall deeper in love with God and really work well together, work in unity, and to work diligently. So thank you. Let's pray together for the staff. Pray for the worship team and the sound and media team. Let's pray for a heart of worship and a heart to serve the church. And also pray for just all the technical things, that there won't be any issues, you know, with our sound system. I know on Sunday our lights went out for whatever reason. So let's pray those things will not happen. And let's just pray and cover our team that we'll be able to do our job well. So let's pray together. Also pray for our arts team, Arts Anonymous. Pray for creativity and pray as they are constantly working together for the Spread Triannual newspaper. Let's really pray God's blessing over that process and pray for the team members to really be filled with joy and creativity, and that God will bless them in their personal lives. Let's pray for this team. Thank you. pray for our house churches meeting today. Let's pray that it'll be an amazing time, a really meaningful time. Let's pray for all the leaders of each house church, and let's just give that time to the Lord. God, thank you for this morning. We love you, God, and help us to be like David, God. Help us to live a life of obedience, God, a life after your heart, God. Help us to serve your purpose, God, in our generation, so that we may leave really a legacy, God, of blessing to our children and to our next generation, God. I pray that you will speak to us and use us, God. And help us to just be faithful, God, in all that you've called us to do. Thank you, Lord. Pray your blessing over everyone here. I pray as they go that the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit will be with each and every person, God. And I pray that throughout our day that we may think of you, remember you, Lord. Thank you. We bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great day today.